Welcome to Skeleton Key Brewery here in Woodridge. Tonight, the Brit and Yankee Craft Beer Podcast. I'm the Brit, by the way.
All right, quiet and down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios. Another Brit and Yankee Craft Beer Pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Knock the wild dune, bring the drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lad. You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Right, tonight we're doing a series of podcasts that we're recording live here at breweries that are up and down the Illinois 55 corridor. We started off with Pollyanna, we headed out to Black Horizon, we've done Miskatonic, and all of the breweries that have been included in this are within 4 miles of an exit on I-55. We're trying to help promote this great local craft beer. And the fine folks here at Skeleton Key Brewing have very kindly allowed us to come in and do an interview with them. So if you're interested in learning a little bit about the brewery, then this is your opportunity. We also can encourage some questions, and if you have questions, you can always come up here and ask them of the panel. So without further ado, I think it's time for me to introduce our panel for the evening. On my left here is head brewer or brewer? Head brewer, okay. Want to make sure it's right, okay. John Zarpo. The man in the middle is owner and also brewer, right? Occasionally brewing. Mr. Paul Slayton. And next to him, the most loveliest of the ladies in this entire panel, because we've all got faces for radio. That's owner and they're together, you know, Emily Slayton. Yes! On the end is my producer, Kevin Herbs. A lot of you may know him from his days with the Midwest Brewers Fest. And I'm just going to give a quick plug, because you can see him and I up at the Naperville Ale Fest this weekend, July the 14th. Stop by and sample some beers. Are you going to be here, Paul? You're going to be there. That's good. Okay, great. Oh, hang on. I got to turn them up. There we go.
Kind of helps, Phil.
Get you. Yeah.
Hello.
We're good. We got you all there. So you're going to be there, right, Paul?
Yes, I will not be there. My parents will be pouring there for us this weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Slave labor. We got them in there. Slave labor. All right, good. So the format of our show is that we have a selection of 4 brews that we've asked the fine folks at Skeleton Key to pick for themselves. But we have 4 categories. And the first category that we've gone for is a flagship beer. And this is something that you can always find on at the brewery. And what have we got here today? Who's going to talk about this one? What's it called? And how good is it?
This is our Migratory Toasted Coconut Golden Ale. It is by far our best-selling beer, which is surprising considering IPAs and APAs fly off the shelves. This one still flies off even faster.
Oh, yes.
And we do strive to have it on all the time. There are occasionally instances where it sells faster than we can even make it. But people love it. We love it. It was sort of an unusual... I wouldn't call it an accident, so to speak, but it was something that we did just as an experiment and didn't realize how incredibly popular it was going to be, and now it's our best-selling beer.
So how many people have had this beer out there? Yeah, quite a few. Good one. Very, very popular. I'm not a big coconut guy, although sometimes people say I look like one. But this beer has a delightful aroma that I wouldn't have called actually a coconut aroma, but very interesting. And I'm going to taste it. So,
please.
Paul, whilst I'm tasting, would you tell us a little bit about the history of Skeleton Key? How'd you come about?
Myself, my wife Emily, and my brother-in-law John have been brewing beer together for probably about a decade now at this point. We started out the same way pretty much everybody starts out. We got a kit for Christmas 1 year, started brewing, loved it, started buying more and more toys to the point that our car couldn't fit in our garage anymore. And from there, just started learning everything that we could. We spent, years brewing, traveling, going to other breweries, learning new ways to brew. We spent time at the Siebel Institute of Technology in the city of Chicago. We spent time at the Colorado Boy Immersion Program out in...
Frederick.
Thank you, Frederick, Colorado. We basically are very self-taught beyond that, but it was just something that we fell in love with. It was something that we loved doing together, the three of us, and it's something that we still love doing to this day. I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer. When we first started putting a business plan together, the three of us come from three different avenues of business. You know, I've spent most of my adult life in the restaurant bar business. John comes from financial sort of side of things, and Emily comes from marketing side of things. So for the three of us to work on opening a business together, it just made awesome sense.
And how long have you been open? When did you first? When did the doors come open?
Would have been September of 2016. So our second anniversary will be coming up. It's actually our anniversary party will be on Saturday, October 6th this year.
October 6th. All right, everybody's going to be here October 6th.
Put it in your calendar. Yeah.
And I think today it was the first Tuesday that you've ever opened, right?
Yes, tonight is our first official Tuesday night. We've been closed on Tuesdays since we opened, and we finally decided it was time. And starting tonight, we're open every Tuesday night from 4 to 10 p.m. to the public.
So, John, how did you get involved in this wingding?
Like you said, I mean, pretty much, I bought the kit for the two of them for Christmas years back, just because I thought it would preoccupy them. I had no real intention in getting into the brewing side of things, more so just into the drinking side of things once they were done with the product. So, but then, they invited me out for their inaugural brew, and I lived in the city, so I wasn't able to be there for every brew. But then the following Christmas, they bought me a kit. A smaller kit that I was able to brew 1 gallon batches of beer in my small condo kitchen, and from there I started making the trek out to these parts to brew with them. Pretty much started as maybe once a month, and then it was pretty much every weekend until we didn't have any space for production anymore.
So as a brewer, what keeps you awake at night?
what doesn't keep me awake at night is really probably it's everything. I mean, it's the second I walk in here, and these guys know, I oftentimes will bring myself a breakfast sandwich in here, and the second I walk through the doors, I start doing stuff, and that breakfast sandwich turns into a hockey puck because I never touch it, because I'm neurotic about checking things every chance I get, and I've got a couple of kids at home, so I've got another full-time job. So when I'm here, I stress about everything, and when I'm at home, I stress about it even more. So
he starves himself for his craft. That's what he's saying.
So Emily, if you were encouraging somebody to come to your brewery, what would you say to him?
Oh my.
You can swear.
That we're fucking awesome. I think one of the things that's really unique about our brewery is just, and you could say this about a lot of different things, but we've really, one of the biggest things for us was creating the sense of community. I think there's so many great breweries around here, and everybody sort of has their own little niche, even if we're all doing all different styles all the time. And for us, in terms of the beer, it's important for us to have balance. And so we try to have a balanced tap list. All of our beers are really well balanced. And so that's just, I think that's baseline, though. I think that when you're coming out to a brewery, part of it is also the environment and the sort of the culture that surrounds it. And that's something that we work really hard to promote. So if someone were coming out here, I'd say you're going to have a great beer, you're going to have a great time, and you're probably going to meet some great people that you'll continue to hang out with after this. A lot of our regulars have become friends with each other. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's obvious we got great people. Look at this lovely looking audience already. I find those easy plugs. Kevin, before we break off on our flagship beer, give us your opinion on what you think of it.
Well, one of the first things I noticed when I took a sip of this is how natural the coconut tasted. There's a lot of different breweries working with Golden Ales on a level of adding it with some various flavors. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it comes across as very artificial in flavor. And literally when I put this in the taste buds, I could literally feel and taste live coconut.
Yeah.
Not extracts, not variations, true coconut.
Right.
So I got to ask, the question is going to become, how much coconut or what form of coconut do you put into this?
Let's let Emily answer this one since she toasts most of the coconut herself.
Yeah, I don't want to know how she toasts it.
It is all 100% natural coconut. We get flaked coconut. We put 50 pounds in each batch, and my sister and I personally hand roast every batch. So we toast it. I stand in front of a convection oven at United Kitchen in LaGrange and just stir that coconut to get it to be to the right toast level, and within a day or two we add it to the fermenter, and after it's already been through primary fermentation. So that's great that comes through, because that's what we have been hoping for, and I'm glad.
Well, it's important that every brewery has a place, particularly since you named it your flagship, that is a go-to beer. Mm-hmm. Whether you're an introductory beer drinker or you're more up the chain, this beer kind of transcends them both, and that's extremely important.
The one thing I like about it is it doesn't taste like a hair product.
Yes.
We don't want to be drinking banana boat.
So, no suntan lotion.
So before we go, we always like to find out a little bit about the personal side of you guys. So if you're brewing beer, what do you listen to music, and what do you listen to?
Well,
good question.
I listen to, oftentimes, like I said, once I get in here, oftentimes I forget to do anything but start working. So sometimes when these guys get in, I'll just be working in silence in here. But
just
when
creepy
I
as hell,
when I do you. Put on when I do put on music, it is early 90s hip hop music. That's what I grew up on. It's what I still love. I enjoy lots of different kinds of music, but that's my go to. That's what I'm bumping in the 2000 Buick Park Avenue.
I'm not going to ask you, Paul, because you'll listen to what Emily wants to listen to.
Oh,
absolutely not.
That is definitely not true.
Absolutely not.
Paul listens to ska.
So if John is hip-hop, I'm definitely punk and ska. And Emily's indie rock. Emily's indie rock, 100%.
Yeah. And 90s punk.
And 90s punk.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but
I think none of our choices annoy the other people. I mean, we all enjoy every style of music, really. But I think we all have our sort of
preferences. Yeah.
When you turn the music on the next day, you can definitely tell who was here the latest the night before.
Yeah.
Let's put it that
true.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To add a little side story here, some of us spent a lot of time together at Craft Brewers Conference in Nashville this year, and we all found a wonderful band that all four of us loved and adored.
God, it was
and
so awesome.
They made it all of those.
They did.
Mad Hatters were phenomenal.
Yes.
They were actually a hip hop, country, ska band with some of the most amazing.
Yeah. It sounds so silly to say it out loud like that, but that's exactly what they were.
What
they were incredible.
Say they were called?
They were the Mad Hatters, right?
The Mad Hatters.
We got so lucky finding them that night.
It was amazing. That was the first of many times we ran into Kevin accidentally while we were in Nashville, too. It was hilarious.
And the funny part is, about 2 a.m. one night, they were playing, and I texted Paul. I'm like, dude, they're playing again.
I bet if we could have gotten there, we would have.
Yeah, we would have. They were amazing.
All right, well, we'll have to find some Mad Hatters to end up our segment with. Thanks very much. Flagship beer is a great one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back
Thanks.
In a few Cheers. Minutes with our next beer.
How could you call yourself dirty? What do you mean? Your essence is spotless, super clean. And it's my fault I did this to you. I muddied up your soul by tearing your heart in two. So let's take a walk and talk about the past. I know we can fix this.
Come on,
let's make our love last.
Yeah.
I never meant to cause you pain or grief. Get it off your chest and find some sweet relief.
I wash my body from your touch. I never needed it so much. With all the hell I put it through, it was the least that I could do to wash my body from you.
All right, we're back after that short break and after people go off to get the new sample of the next beer. So our next beer we call a showcase beer, and this is something that we asked the brewery, have you got a special beer that you have got out that's just coming out, or you want to, is a special release, maybe it's a limited release or something like that. So in this case, we've gone from golden to dark, which is really good. I like that. What do we got here? Who's going to tell us about this one?
Paul. John.
John.
No, John.
Oh, dang. Where's Ringo?
We were just talking about this the other day.
Heard that before.
We were just talking about this the other day, and I don't understand why nobody ever says, where's George? It's always, where's Ringo?
Because he's dead.
Okay. Good old George. All right. Meanwhile, back to the beer.
He's not wrong, guys. He's not wrong.
The last beer was Migratory. This one is called?
This one is called Seventh Evil X.
Seventh Evil X. And what is it? Is it a stout?
It's a, no, it is, it's a Schwartz beer.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Schwartz beer, so.
I was waiting to say that.
So the,
Tell us about the Schwartz beer.
The, you know, German translation is just black beer, basically. So it is, it's something that we were playing around with, as a dark beer to put on the list, that would play in the summer. Now, that's not to say that, you know, porters and stouts don't play in the summer, but we were just thinking, how about putting something on that has all of those sort of roasty and dark malt characteristics that a porter or a stout would have, but also undergoes a lager fermentation and a lagering conditioning process as well. So it's made the same way as, you know, most lager beers are, using a German lager yeast, but the grist bill itself is a lot more akin to what you would find in a porter or a stout. So it has hopefully all of those same sort of qualities, but maybe with a little bit of a cleaner lager-like finish to it.
So I'm getting a very nice kind of chocolatey aroma.
Yeah.
How do you get those types of aromas into beers? I mean, people will come along and say, hey, I bet you used a black barley, right? Well,
right.
What's the secret?
Well, the roasting process for certain types of malt is similar to the roasting process for cacao beans. So you get, and as well as coffee, which is why a lot of times when you drink dark beer, you get coffee, you get cocoa. The roasting process brings out a lot of similar flavors out of all of those things. So we use certain kinds of malt, as a matter of fact, a lot of chocolate malt in this beer. So, you know, that's going to lend itself to a little bit of that chocolatey flavor. There's a lot of really great ways with dark beers to get that chocolatey flavor without adding chocolate. But of course, then adding chocolate sort of kicks it up a notch, really brings out, rounds out that chocolatey flavor that you have in there, and sort of directs your taste buds a little bit more towards it. But with this, we just, it's all malt, it's all dark malt that that gives you that chocolatey aroma and flavor.
So have you ever thought of doing an English mild? Because another one that I like. You know, you're getting a lot of roastiness and something like that in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a lighter alcohol beer.
Absolutely.
We absolutely have. We haven't had the chance to yet. We did an ESB last fall, that's...
Tell them what it was called.
And what's an ESB?
It's called, that is an extra special bitter.
Okay, you passed.
Yes. Yeah. All right, and the name of it was Knobhead.
What, it was what?
Knobhead.
Knobhead.
Good man.
When we first put it on, I think maybe there would only be two people in this room that got that reference. We had to explain it to everybody else, unfortunately.
So, Emily, now you've opened up the brewery, you know, how are you trying to reach beyond the hardcore beer drinker and pull in, you know, let's say the general public, people who haven't had a craft beer and want to try it out?
Well, I think, you know, again, that is a big part of what we do through education. So we actually host classes here that we curate. Right now I'm teaching a bunch of homebrewing classes over the summer. It's nice weather for it. We've done two beginner classes so far. I'm doing an all-grain class this coming Sunday. So that's one way. During the fall and the winter, we do sort of styles like tasting classes. And that's one way of doing it. And we just try to, you know, I feel like a, you know, an educated consumer is a better consumer, and I think that for a lot of people, they want to get into craft beer, they're interested in what it's all about, but they don't feel confident in understanding the different styles and knowing how to talk about it. And so part of that is about just giving them the vocabulary to be able to say, you know, rather than saying, oh, I don't like hoppy beers, saying, maybe you don't like beers that are more bitter, but, you know, hops in and of themselves are not, you know, are not your enemy. So it's just, you know, that's something that's been really big, and I think it's been really successful. We've seen a lot of people who have been turned on to styles that they might not have ever tried before. We try to do that even just in the tasting room too, where if someone says, yeah, I usually drink Stella, or I usually drink Blue Moon, what do you guys have? And, you know, and so we bring them a taste of something that's close to that style, but then we bring them something that sort of fits the mentality of that style. You know, if someone says they like a Stella, they're trying to tell us that they don't want something that's real bitter. So, you know, when we used to have our Scotch ale on, we'd bring them a little bit of the Scotch ale, and it's a lot maltier than a Stella. But you would be surprised at how many people that turns towards, you know, sort of moving them towards darker beers. And I mean, something so cool about that.
It's fun to take people out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know, and give them something that they think they're not going to like, and then watch them, you know, sort of realize that there's a world beyond what they're asking for.
Yeah.
It's interesting enough, everyone here, that how when you walk in this place is based up into three different areas. The brewery, obviously, the tap room, but interesting enough, what I look at is like the training room up front.
Yeah.
Where this is very unusual that people are actually putting moving dedicated space into area for classes, for training.
Yeah.
And it's my hat's off to everyone here for doing that, because that's an area that, generally speaking, it's about growing the craft.
Yep.
Not just keeping the craft in-house.
Absolutely.
There's nothing I love better than watching someone who's never been here before come into the front room, see the front room, and see that there's some tables and stuff in there with our logo on the wall, and then look at their face when they walk through the threshold into the actual tap room where the brewery is, not expecting at all what they see.
Such brewery, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool, and I'll never get tired of it. I see it every week since we opened this place up, and I hope to see it every week for the rest of my life.
Well, and that front room, in addition to the classes that we teach here, it's also been really great because Paul and I also teach for COD's Business of Craft Beer program. So I teach, actually in a couple weeks it'll be starting up again. It's a brewery licensing and permitting class, which is
the most boring class
you can take, but God, it's really important. And then Paul and I teach a front of house class where we actually teach people how to manage and run a tap room. And it's nice to be able to do that here at our facility so that people get the actual real experience of being in a tap room. We do mock service. We do like jockey box relays where we make them set up and break down for a beer fest. You know, I mean, it's nice to be able to give people that hands-on experience, because you can talk about it, you can read about it, but until you do it, until something breaks while you're doing it, you don't really know how to do it.
So you said you like to have people here for the first time. Is there anybody out there who's here for the first time?
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome.
He's not a plant, but I know that guy. In case anybody knows John's Tavern in Winfield that closed down, that's John. So the beer that we have had here is very nice, because you're getting lots of roastiness, but it's still light.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of unusual to have this at this time of year, I think. It tends to be more of a fall beer, but who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, when you're at home relaxing, right? Because obviously this is like a 24/7 thing almost for you.
Yes.
But when you're at home relaxing, what do you guys like to watch on the TV? What are you streaming right now?
Oh.
Right now.
Right now we're streaming Glow.
Glow is on right now.
The Gorgeous
now.
Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, it's fantastic. On Netflix, yes.
We're also
John?
I have just recently, over the last couple of days, gotten into Rick and Morty, because I've been getting bombarded. It's a show called Rick and Morty.
I know.
So I'm like five episodes into that, so and I'm already pretty hooked on that.
We already saw Pickle Rick.
Is anybody a Monty Python fan?
Yes, of course.
I believe
yes. Everyone except my wife.
I am not.
Well, and we didn't even talk about the migratory.
A enough of that. We're going to head into beer number three, which is going to be interesting because we call it our inspiration beer. It inspires somebody. We'll find out who in just a second. The rest is up to me.
Imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half a breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
He's in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Party over there, wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words, can you get in busy? Whoop, there it is, Hitman.
We have our third beer from Skeleton Key Brewery. And this one we call our inspiration beer. And people say, well, okay, what's an inspiration beer? Well, it's something that has inspired the brewers or brewer, or everybody in this case, in some way. Now, we've had some interesting ones where Ed Malnar from Pollyanna, he brought in Hot Vine Brewing because Ken McMullen, the brewer there, inspired him. We've had Blue Nose, who have brought in a Bock beer from a Texas company who...
Shiner, they brought in Shiner Bock, right?
Yes, that's right. I didn't want to say the word. That inspired them to really get into beer. It's their first beer. So the Skeleton Key Inspiration Beer is a Kolsch. Yep. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I'm going to allow you to say what it is.
Flitterwocken.
All right. Yes. Anybody speak German out here?
Nine. And, okay. And also for anybody...
Don't mention the war. We got away with it once.
And for anybody that might have heard that
name... Are they
name
in the World Cup still?
That was unpretty. You knew they weren't in the cup anymore.
Graceville, half the people just turned off the radio.
All right, so back to the beer. So yes. Tell us a little bit about what this is. Kolsch is a kind of a beautiful beer to produce at this time of year. Mm-hmm. But why is it your inspiration beer?
So I think, namely, not this particular beer, because this is the first time that we've made this beer, but this is a beer that was made by our most recent Incubee. So that's something that we haven't talked about, and we have
your what?
We do a yes. Yes.
Okay, this is getting more interesting.
So what we do is every summer, well, shouldn't say every summer, we've only been open 2 years, so for one summer and coming up again soon, we do a homebrew competition. Where we've got a bunch of people that will submit beers. We'll sit down with some other local brewers as well as BJCP judges, and we'll taste through the beers and award a best in category for each category that that we have beers in, and then we'll do a best in show as well. But essentially, everybody that gets a best in category award, we then sit down and talk to, and we end up selecting two people to work with for 3 months. And so in that 3 months, we basically try to, within the timeline that they're able to work, because, you know, they obviously have jobs and things like that. So
yeah, we all do.
Whenever they have the time to come out and brew a beer with me, you know, we'll brew beer together. We have them work behind the bar in the tap room. We have them, you know, basically
cleaning.
Doing, yeah, brewing beer, but also doing, you know, cellaring side and kegging beer,
learning
cleaning.
The marketing side of things too, and licensing and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit of everything.
And in fact, I, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted two people that looked familiar sitting right over here, Chris and Craig. Garage Band Brewing over here.
Garage Band,
the Incubees.
They were our inaugural group. So they got to work with us when I didn't have a clue how to do it or what I was doing, and hopefully so this beer, you know, not necessarily for this beer itself, but we are inspired by working with guys like this. That's where we come from. We're you know, our background is in homebrewing. We love the homebrewing community. We love, you know, the innovation that those kind of guys are pushing.
And we also love, you know, people that have as much passion as us and as much balls, or, well, maybe not balls, but, you know.
Yeah, we don't all have balls, man.
Sort of crazy a little bit, just a little bit crazy, and they're willing to go through with something like this. We love the idea of working with people like that and doing as much as we can to sort of help them figure out how to hit the ground running when they get there, because there's, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, when you pull back the curtain, basically what we're trying to do is scare the shit out of people as much as we can, so that if they really still do want to go through with it, now at least they sort of know, all right,
this is
what it's going to take.
Yeah. So I'd heard that most of brewing, 75% of brewing is cleaning.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's correct.
Keeping everything clean.
Yes.
You may think the life of a brewer is fun, but no.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're just
Make sure you got a good pair of wellies on.
A lot of janitorial work.
Yes. Yep. So, and this beer right here, just you know, this is not even on tap right now. This is one of the things that we've got coming up.
Yeah, we're the only people in here drinking this beer.
Nobody else is drinking this beer.
We're the only people drinking this. Okay.
This was our current incubi, John Miller, Bubble House Brewing, who's been working with us for the last few months, and this was his recipe that we helped him up batch and brew, and it's delicious. It's absolutely fantastic.
So this is going to be released, right?
This will be released a week from Friday.
July 20th.
Yeah, I would advise everybody to try it. I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
July 20th.
July 20th.
I advise everybody to try it because it's really, really light, has a nice end to it that's a little bit bready, very, very refreshing. Great summer beer, it's going to be a winner.
Thank you. One of the nice things that we do with our incubi beers is that once we release the beer, a portion of all the proceeds goes to a charity of their choice as well. So we like to give back a little bit, you know, because we know what it was like.
All right, excellent. Yeah, and I think you're going to sell a shitload. So. Emily.
Yes.
What is the future for Skeleton Key? Because a lot of breweries are now canning.
I feel like I'm getting the tough questions.
Distributing. What are you guys doing?
What the smartest person on the table?
Thanks, Kevin. The next thing that we are going to be doing, well, first of all, we do have our next homebrew competition that is coming up on the 22nd.
Deadline
is next Wednesday for dropping off entries.
July 18th.
So after that, we will start selecting our next participant or participants in the incubator program. So that's the next step. After that, the next big thing that we want to start doing is canning. So we have been working on getting the pieces in place to start canning our coconut golden ale first, and then sort of going from there. So we got an air compressor a couple weeks ago, finally, and next up it's just getting the volume in to actually do that. So canning is the next thing. We're self-distributed, so it's on us to really push the stuff out there. It's a really great thing that we're allowed to do. Very thankful for it. But it's very labor intensive. So right now, I think the next thing will be sort of starting to build up, you know, having a sales team and just pushing our product out there more. Right now we're out there, we're at like 20, 25 accounts in kegs. But getting us, you know, sort of pushing the cans out the door, I think has the potential to really grow the brand.
So have you got any events coming up in the next month or so that people should attend?
Next month, actually.
He's pulling out his iPhone.
It's going to be in August. It's on a Sunday.
It's in the month of August.
And it's called Fermentation Fest. And this is going to be a really cool event that I haven't seen anything else done like this. But we're going to be showcasing.
August 26th.
It is August 26th. That was right. So it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tickets will be available on the Resiliency Institute's website. All the proceeds are going to benefit the Resiliency Institute, which is a really cool permaculture-focused organization out in Naperville. I'm currently getting my foraging certificate through them, and they are just an incredible resource. And just you know, they share our mission of educating people. But what the festival is going to actually be is we're going to have ourselves. I'm going to be brewing a gruit for it. Which is a beer that's made without hops, so it uses bitter herbs to bitter it instead. We have a keg from Scratch Brewing down south, some of their single tree cedar, which is a beer that's brewed using entirely all things from the cedar tree, every aspect you could think of. We have Oak and Shell Meadery from out in Villa Park, a small a nano meadery that will be bringing their product out here. And then Workforce Brewing down in Plainfield is going to be participating as well. So they're going to be brewing up something for that too. So we're going to have, you know, these four alcohols, which are things that most of us here are very acquainted with in terms of fermentation. But we also have Ashley of Panda Chicago, who just, you know, just finished at Joliet Junior College and is sort of striking out on her own. She is very talented with sourdough, kombucha, all these other wonderful things that are actually fermented that I don't think people realize are fermented. Cheese, chocolate, preserves, like all this stuff. So we're going to have some past appetizers that are all fermented. And then we're going to have a little presentation about fermented drinks. So we'll have a few other surprises.
So going back to your, what was it? What's it called again? Flitterwocken?
Flitterwocken.
Which means honeymoon. Actually.
Honeymoon. So,
yes. Honeymoon. Yes.
Are you going to do any mead? Because mead was the original drink, and why it's called honeymoon.
We're not legally allowed to do mead. Because mead is considered to be a honey wine, and so you have to have a winery license to do it.
Oh,
so we can't.
Wait, but
there's this really cool thing that's happening. We recently, well, not we. But the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild has been successful in pushing legislation through in Springfield that will allow us to have guest taps in the next month or two. And so once we do, we will be able to serve things like mead or cider or collaborations that we brew with other breweries. We can brew, yes. Share at both places. So
we still can't brew those things on premises, but we can have guest taps at that
cider,
point.
We will be able to legally. Yes. And we are very legal here.
We're very legal.
But that's a cool thing.
So, I don't know. I'm going to ask Paul this last question before we move on to our last beer, which is kind of interesting because we're going to get them to rate another brewer's beer. I don't know if he's here yet, but he should be. What piece of advice would you give to anyone who's looking to follow in your footsteps, i.e. to go from being home brewer to brewmaster? And you can... There has to be a golden rule.
I mean, God, get ready to risk it all. Get ready to put your entire life, all of your free time,
every day,
most of your money, if not all of your money.
Get ready to learn a lot of things you've never known too. Yeah. Part of the biggest, we are one of the reasons that we wanted to be able to offer up classes and an incubator program and things is because we know exactly how hard. How time-consuming, how much money it takes to learn the things that we've learned. And we wanted to really be able to have a place where we could help people learn those things and learn to do them right without breaking the bank and destroying their lives, you know? And it's a little over dramatic,
like
maybe. But I just mean that, it's really tough. There's so many things you have to worry about. There's so much you have to dedicate every bit of yourself to. And to have someone to help you do that is key. And we definitely have had people that have helped us that, we will never forget the people that have helped us get to where we are now. And we want to be able to help other people in that same situation.
It's people helping people.
People helping people.
People helping people.
You should write a song.
This inspiration beer is certainly inspiring me to drink more.
All right.
It's a really good thing. We'll be back in just a second with our final brew of the evening and an introduction to our next podcast.
Cool. Thank you.
And we've had a bit of a hitch in our next brewer beer because we've just been on the phone with him. In fact, Emily was on the phone with him, and he is suffering from something that is nasty. So we don't want him here bringing his beer. But our next chain beer was going to be from Metal Monkey Brewing Company, and Dan Camp was going to be here. So next show, we'll be at Metal Monkey. Come on down there and learn all about them. In the meantime, we're going to come in with a subbed beer, and it's going to be Bartender's Choice, or as I prefer to call them, the serving wenches. And
Walter and Quinn are the two cutest serving wenches you ever.
Let's hear it for Wally and Quinn.
Yay! Power over there. Thanks, guys. This is the bartender's choice. We got it going there. And I wanted to say it was Martin Quinn Productions. Anybody remember that from the back in the 70s, those crime shows? There we go. He's old enough. He doesn't remember that. But it's not. It's Quinn and
Walter.
That's right. Yes. Walter and Quinn. Which is which?
Walter's got the beard.
Yeah,
Quinn must be the good-looking one. Oh, that's neither of them. Okay, we're good. All right, so we had to have a substitute beer, and this is one that you've brought out from your stock of beers that are on tap right
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sour.
Yes.
It's a Berliner Weiss.
It's a kettle sour, yeah.
And give us information on it.
John? Well, it's a... thank you. It is a kettle soured beer, which means we basically go through the majority of the brewing process up to the point where we would normally, once we get into the kettle, where we would boil everything, add hops. At that point, we actually cool the wort down to a pitching temperature that allows us to get some growth out of a lactobacillus blend, which is it's a bacteria that basically, you know, similar to how yeast eats up the sugars, this bacteria spits out a lactic acid instead of, you know, byproducts of regular yeast fermentation. So it sours the beer basically overnight. Worst case scenario, a day and a half. But basically, so we inoculate it, and then the following day we come in, the pH has dropped drastically down to, you know, normal finished beer or normal pre-boiled beer is, you know, about 5.3. This beer, when we come back in the following day, is about 3.4. So for those of you who know pH, it's a logarithmic scale. It's sour, basically.
It's the same
is
what
stuff
that means. That it's used sour. To sour yogurt.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's the same stuff that's used to sour yogurt. It's lactobacillus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I always like to rate my sour beers on a pucker rating. Yeah. And this one is really quite mild.
It's a light pucker.
Yeah.
It's a light
very
pucker.
Very nice. Yeah.
I always tell people this is a gateway sour.
Yeah.
Or otherwise a gateway sour. Yeah. It's tart and lemony without
gateway to what, Paul?
Gateway to more sours.
It's also a very nice, you know, because the flavor, I mean, it's got some sour, but the beer itself doesn't have a ton of strong characteristic to it outside of that sourness. So it's just very refreshing, very light. If you order it in a flight, it's a really nice palate cleanser.
Yeah.
If you're going for some stronger flavored beers and you don't want to sort of muddy things up a little bit, this one kind of just wipes the slate clean. But it's just a really nice, you know, it's 4%, so really light. The sour is not too strong, so you could drink a few of them, and it's not that thing that gets you right here, that gets this thing going here in the jaw. So you can, you know, you could drink it and you know, have another one afterwards. So.
So do you make a lot of these types? Because sours are pretty popular right now.
We don't.
No.
This is one of the few that we do. One of the things that's really nice about Berliner Weisses is that they also take fruit really well. So we've done a few fruited versions of this one, which is, you know, a nice way to sort of extend it. We're a little hesitant to get too heavy into the other souring cultures. The thing about lactobacillus and the thing about kettle souring that's really nice is that, you know, the process that John described, at the end of it, when you start heating up the kettle with the lacto in it, it kills the lacto, you know, and you add hops and the hops help kill it. So we don't have to worry about infecting the rest of our equipment. Whereas with, you know, Brettanomyces or Pediococcus, like, there's a little bit more management involved. And so you have to be a lot more careful about that. And right now we are not comfortable with separating those processes. So Berliner Weiss is the way that we're able to get sours on the menu. We've done a little bit of barrel-aged sours here and there, but I'd say that, you know, right now this is where we're at.
So we obviously don't have our other brewer here, but one of the questions we like to ask is, you know, do you guys sample other breweries' beers just to kind of keep up on the competition?
Absolutely.
Quality control.
Right. We sampled exactly. a lot That's of brewery of beers last night.
We did. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All for quality control reasons.
For scientific purposes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It was work. Is really
it was
what
work.
It was.
Yeah, it was totally work.
No, absolutely. I mean, you learn from other people. And that not just from sitting in a classroom with somebody else, but learning from what they've done that you love, what you might not love as much. I mean, all those things are very important. We love drinking. The nice thing about the three of us is it's not like, I don't think any of us can say, oh, I don't like that style of beer. I'm pretty certain that all three of us like a little bit of everything. There's nothing that I'd say I don't drink because I'm always willing to try something new because eventually, I remember when I didn't like IPAs. You know, I think there was a time where all of us didn't like IPAs until you have
like
that
wines.
One that opens up. I don't love barley wines, but I'll still try a barley.
That is unacceptable.
Somewhere, hold on. Somewhere out there, there's the magical barley wine that is going to turn me and I will love barley wines. I haven't found it yet, but it's there somewhere. All right?
So, is there any questions that any of you guys out here have for the panel? Here. My friend from Yorkshire, right? Whereabouts in Yorkshire, lad?
Bradford.
Oh, Bradford. Oh, very good. All right. Why are you over here, then?
For the job, of course.
For the job, okay. Right. And the beer, right?
And the beer.
Okay, go
ahead.
Beer's
going to get. All right. You guys had an excellent first anniversary beer, the Barrel Age Wee Heavy.
Thank you.
What are you guys putting on for the second anniversary beer?
Oh.
Oh.
All right, good question.
How much information do you want to give Steve and the world?
Well, the second anniversary beer, we're actually is brewing the base beer for it tomorrow. So the base beer will be the Eyes Unclouded, our Belgian triple. Which we will be aging in rum barrels. We have rum barrels from Journeyman Distillery. They're Rhodes End rum, which is delicious. And in those barrels, we're going to be adding some lime peel and some clove. And then to the beer itself, we'll be adding pineapple. So it'll basically be our Tears Like the Rain. Or I'm sorry, our Tiki Tears, which you guys as Mug Club members have had a little taste of before. All of our Mug Club members get to taste our experimental beers. So it'll be that, but aged in a rum barrel.
Do they get to rate them, too?
They do, on Untapped. Everyone gets to rate us every freaking day.
So that's going to be out in October
6th. October 6th.
Right? Yep. Okay.
We've talked about what's happening at Skeleton Key in the future. We've talked about what you're brewing, all the good stuff. I'm going to ask a question of each of you. Outside of Skeleton Key beer, what beer would you like to drink? John?
Who?
It could be anybody's. I mean, you know. If it's Shiner Bock, just own up, okay?
It will be. I can give you a couple of breweries, namely one brewery I think that is my favorite. Just in general, I've never had a bad beer by them, and that's Off Color in Chicago.
Yeah, off color.
John does good stuff. And that's coming from somebody who loves good IPAs and loves bitter pale beers, and these are guys that don't make any of that. So they everything about them. You know, I got to know them when I was not them personally. I got to know their beers when I was still living in the city, and I've just always been really inspired by them, and anytime that I see their stuff on the shelf, I grab some. So that's my go-to.
Well, I you know, I'd say that I'm a sucker for a good Helles Lager. I'm a huge, huge fan. One of my favorite beers in the world is the Weinstephaner Helles Lager, the oldest brewery in the world. You know, it's been around since 1035. They know what they're doing. But there's a lot of local guys that are making Helles Lagers that knock my friggin' socks off. You know, like, Workforce makes an incredible Helles Lager. Cam over at Elmhurst Brewing Company makes an incredible Helles Lager. And I love the last
Church
time we were
Street.
Talking about it, and Church Street as well. But the last time we were talking about it with Cam, said that, you know, the heart to any brewery's, you know, the secret to any brewery's heart is a good Helles Lager. Every brewer wants a good Helles Lager, because if you can make a good one, as simple as it is, it will knock your socks off. That is my favorite beer.
And have you made one?
We have not.
Yes.
I bug John about it all the time, I feel like, but we haven't made one yet.
He's got his expectations are so high. Pressure's high.
John makes a bad one. What do I do?
He might fire me. I am just a brewer here. I mean, he might just fire me.
That's true. Well, I mean, you were...
Kevin.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We always try to have a little controversy among brewers. Usually it's other breweries, not like the same brewery having...
We're family too, yeah. So there's controversy everywhere.
But I do have to dive in the question that I alluded to earlier, and that was the importance when it comes to the use of natural ingredients versus adjuncts or other flavors. And why is it important for you, in your view, to use natural ingredients in your beer versus extracts that are not fully or have words we cannot pronounce, like feberbusen or whatever?
I feel, if you don't mind, I can answer that question and the question that Phil was asking about, you know, breweries that inspire you, and because Scratch Brewing is a brewery that inspires me a lot. And you want to talk about using natural ingredients, they are using the most natural ingredients there are. That's
down at Ava.
It's down in Ava. Gosh, if you get down there, it is worth the pilgrimage. It is an amazing spot. Their beers are just so incredible, and it has inspired so much of what we do. I think that when it comes down to it, I don't think there's anything wrong with using extracts. You know, I think that a lot of people do it, and, you know, it's the difference between when you're using it to achieve a certain thing or if you're using it as a shortcut. You know, there's two different ways there. For us, it's really important to use the natural ingredients because it's important to understand how those things are going to interact with the flavors in the beer, and I feel like, you know, extract might get you... supposedly a little more consistency, but we haven't found that to be the case with using natural things. I think as long as you're very conscientious about how you're using them and you do a lot of testing, which is something that we do a lot of here. You know, we have our experimental batches that our Mug Club members get to try, and so they get to be our guinea pigs when we do that stuff, but it also means that we get to be real personal with those ingredients. So it almost feels like a more personal story that you're telling with those beers when you get to use the natural stuff.
Oh. So we didn't ask you what other beers you'd like to drink. Is Scratch?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. Yeah, Scratch. Okay, Scratch good. Is my, yes. That is my pole yeah. star.
So, kind of continuing that point, Emily, what would be your favorite, or what, in your mind, what are you envisioning making a group beer from? We talked about the one you're going to be making very soon here.
So it is still in planning. We do a lot of, I want it to be a foraged gruit. So I am working on foraging various things. There are some ingredients that I have to figure out how to obtain, how to forage, harvest legally. Foraging is tough because there's so many restrictions on where you can and can't do it, especially for commercial sale. So right now, a lot of that is going to come down to what sort of access I have to different lands and what I'm able to actually get. This foraging certificate that I've been working towards has been awesome in helping me be more flexible in that way so that I have options. The last gruit I made was made with yarrow, a little bit of some horehound was the main bittering component, foraged juniper that we used, and a little bit of rose hips too. Wow. And I think I'm forgetting something. I think there was one more thing in there that I'm just...
She's been a real weirdo ever since took this. Like, you can't walk through walk through a forest preserve with her without her being like, oh, you know what that is? You know what this is? Well, that is... We should make some beer with this.
You can't drive in a car with her
awesome.
Without
being
like,
awesome.
I'll look at her when she's on her phone in the car, and I'll be like, what are you looking at? I'm trying to find out what those trees are. Like she needs to know what every tree is called.
When the apocalypse comes, you'll all be glad
when the apocalypse comes.
And you'll be able to barter with beer. We know that. Because we all know that once the apocalypse does happen, homebrewers are going to be considered the kings.
Heroes.
Yep.
Well, guys, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and I just want to say thanks a lot. I know that
you guys
have a family business going on here, obviously. I think also your in-laws are here somewhere, and they're
parents.
I wonder why they were cheering. But thanks a lot for allowing us to come in and find out a little bit about your brewery.
Thank you.
Beers. If anybody wants to tune in to the Brit and Yankee podcast, you can go out with the only Brit and Yankee pretty much on Facebook. You can go to our website at www.thebritandyankee.com. You can email us at pints@thebritandyankee. And I must have forgotten something because Kevin is winking at me. Either that or he likes me.
No, but obviously we also want to make sure that we also know how we can find Skeleton Key.
Absolutely. Thank you. He keeps me honest.
Yeah.
So tell us the details. Here's the $64,000 question. What's your phone number?
Oh, shit, we don't know that.
630-395-9033. How am I the only one that knows that?
That's good.
Who knows?
And where you guys don't pay me enough.
We are at SkeletonKeyBrewery.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Skeleton Key Brew. We're on Twitter, at Skeleton Key Brew. We're on Instagram.
It's Skeleton Key Brewing. Is it Brewery?
What's Instagram?
Yeah, right. We're still getting better at that. Yeah. And if anyone wants to email us with questions at any time, you can email us at info@SkeletonKeyBrewery.com. That's the best way to get our attention.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you very much, guys. And we're sorry that Dan couldn't make it from Metal
Monkey.
We're
sorry, too.
We'll be there in the month of August, I think. So come on down there. Emily, Paul, John, you're the best. Thanks.
You're the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah.
Keep drinking the beer. Keep drinking the beer.
You keep making it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Damn it.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee! I'll have a pint, Yankee. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.